Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 16. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. And Father, we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. There's a battle, it's raging right now. It's raging in the homes, it's raging in business, it's raging in the church. But more so, Jesus talked about that there would be an apostasy. And we're seeing it with our own eyes. And so I'm here to encourage us tonight that with Christ, all things are possible. And through Christ, he will strengthen us. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's look at verses 12 through 16. And then we're going to expound these verses. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us. So let's start with verse 12. And this is Paul now. Speaking to Timothy, writing this letter. This is the first letter to Timothy. That's why it's called 1 Timothy. We're going to be almost concluding chapter 6, and we're going to go into the second letter probably next week or a week after. So let's read verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Verse 15, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who alone has immortality dwelling in the unapproachable light, which no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Man, look what God has in store for us. So let's look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let me just say this. Ever since God called us to this marvelous faith, there are many witnesses that are now watching your walk. They're looking at you. They're making sure, okay, it's been a year, it's been 2 years, it's been 5 years. Pretty soon they're going to say, man, their faith is pretty solid, and it's going to bring a conviction, especially to those who are in unbelief. They want to see that our testimony will stand. Can I get an amen? So this is why Timothy said, fight the good fight of faith. This is a battle. The battle's on right now. And so using the same word he used to describe Timothy's work in Ephesus, Paul described furthering the gospel as a fight. But it is the good fight for what we believe. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, that's a great fight. Because I just heard today, I think it was on True News, that this big atheist in the world just died. And before he died, he said, there is no God. And he perished into an everlasting torment. Seriously, this guy was a marvelous scientist. And on his last breath, there is no God. Wow. Oh, man. The verb tense in the Greek implies that the fight is an ongoing, continual process requiring diligence and discipline. So this is what God is saying. Be diligent in your walk. Discipline yourself. If there's things that God doesn't want you to look at no more, then don't look at it. If there's things that God don't want you to be involved in, then don't be involved in it. He will tell you what it is. Because we serve a personal God. He'll tell you what you can handle and not handle. And so I leave that to God, amen? But here's the thing that we all need to have in this walk. We need to have faith. We have to have faith. Look what it says right up here in Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if you're walking in unbelief, you're not going to please God. We need to please God through faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know what? I'm so blessed about Wednesday nights. I know there's a handful of you that come out. But this is a sign to you, not to me, a sign to you that you are seeking him. You want to hear more about, you want to learn and grow in your faith. Because it's a battle at home, isn't it? It's a battle on the job. And so when you come here to get energized, man, to get empowered by the Spirit of God, to hear the anointed word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so this is what strengthens us, is God's word. So Saints, Timothy would continue a fight already begun by others. And so believers today continue the fight for which Timothy and Paul offered in their lives. So this was not only addressed by Paul to Timothy, he addressed it to the church of Philistia. Look at this, in Philippians here, in Philippi. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. This is one thing we have to understand in this walk with Jesus Christ. We come to him and we walk in this walk of faith even though we're not perfect yet. Can I get an amen? None of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip and stumble and fall, but he's going to pick us up. Hallelujah. Look at this. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. This is Paul saying to the Philippian church. But I press on. You and I, saints, we need to press on. That we may, look at this, lay hold of which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. You know what? He has a crown of righteousness for us. He's got things that you and I can't comprehend. With our natural eye, with even with our imagination. He goes on to say, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to things which are ahead. Amen. Listen, don't worry about your faults and failures from the past. Don't worry about it's all under the blood now. Now we walk toward him. Let's go on to the next verse. I press toward the goal for the what? The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When my friend Brother Marv was sharing me 500 left, where are they going to? Are they walking away from this? There's a call. There's a prize. Man, it's just a hold on. Hold on. Don't let the enemy get a hold of you. Look at this. Therefore, let as many as are mature. And that's the key. Mature means grounded in God's word. Rooted, grounded, mature. Have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that which I have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And the same mind is the word of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. Whoo, thank you. Let's go on to the next verse. Look at this. Brethren, join in following my example. So if there's someone that we could glean off, I want to glean on the life of Christ and also the life of the apostles after they were converted. You know why? Because they didn't care anymore about their life no more. They just wanted to preach Jesus and him crucified. Look at this. Brethren, join the following my example. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. See, the apostles and Jesus, they laid out a pattern for us just to follow them. Follow the way that they lived. Thank you, God. Look, for many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross. There's enemies, man. They want to come against you. They want to come against your faith. They want to contend with you. They want to box with you. They want to put doubt and confusion in you. God says, don't do that. Because there's enemies of the cross whose end, you got to remember that their end is destruction. Their end is destruction. Whose God, notice little g, whose God is their what? Belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. That atheist who perished, man. The little God, you know what an atheist is? That's a belief system. I hope you know that. He's believing still in something. In other words, he's believing contrary to what we believe in, but he still has a belief system, believing that there is no God. He's still got to choose. Look at this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I, our citizenship is not here. Yeah, we have passports, we have driver's license, you know, and we got identification. But guess what? There's only a handful of us in this nation. I'm talking when I say a handful, not everyone has their citizenship in heaven. The only way you're going to have your citizenship in heaven, you got to be born again. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Always remember, when Jesus rose again, he was the first to rise. So we are going to have a body just like him. I can't wait. Man, I got shirts that don't fit no more. I got shirts that are too big. It's like, I can't wait till he comes and transforms his body so I don't have to do, I can just do away with those clothes now. Come on. Look at this. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What's he able to do? He's able to get the devil off your back. He's able to heal you. He's able to transform you. He's able to bless you. He's able to keep you. He's able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can I get an amen? Come on, you got to believe God for that. Believe God for that. And look how James explains this right now. Blessed is a man who endures temptation. This is a fight. You're going to be tested. I heard last week someone got tested. Someone got tested on the road, huh? We all get tested. We all get tested in our faith. But blessed is the man who endures temptation. Man, it's easy to say, what up? What up? And you want to get in their face? No, don't get in their grill. Just walk away. Just walk away. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because you never know who's watching you. Let alone heaven is watching already. For when he has been approved, he will receive, look at it, the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. How many can honestly say we love the Lord here? Come on. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the Lord. You guys love the Lord. So guess what? Because we love the Lord, he has promised a crown to us. Man, I'm telling you, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. You know why? Because God cannot tempt you. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Those people that scattered, that are scattering across, they're being tempted. And they're believing the lie. My goodness, they're believing the lie. Look at verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Did you catch that? Somebody got in someone's ear. Enticed. Is that what the Bible says? Someone put something in someone's ear. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The enemy's cunning. He'll try to throw all kinds of darts at you. But look at this. Look how James writes this in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So God will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will bless you. He will prepare you. He will let you know what's coming the next day. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. Why? Because, and he comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. In other words, he spoke us into existence. Come on. Come on. Hey, listen, yeah, I know your mom and dad got together and then they conceived. But he spoke all of us into fruition. Yes, he did. It was by his foreknowledge he predestined us. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Look at that. So not only did he allow us to be born in this earth, he allowed us to be born the second time from above. Aren't you so blessed to have received the Holy Spirit by faith? Come on, that's what transformed us, is the power of the Holy Spirit. and the written word of God. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. Saints, those who fight the good fight of faith can already hold tightly to their prize. Don't let it go. Don't let man deceive you. Don't let temptation get a hold of you. Don't let confusion, don't let the enemy rebuke it in Jesus' name. Eternal life had been given to Timothy and to all believers like you and I at the moment of conversion. Oh, yes. Look at what it says here in the Word of God. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know you have everlasting life? Aren't you so blessed it's not contingent on your works? Man, there's all kinds of churches. Man, if you don't keep these do's and don'ts in our church, you're lost. What? It's not about church. It's about a relationship with him. Look at this. He has sent me, what? And him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into what? Judgment, but has passed from death to life. Look, we were all on our way to that pit where that atheist was gone, or I think he's there. If that's what he spoke, he's there, okay? And we were all headed there, huh? And then what? He, by faith, through his election, how he chose us and blessed us, we now pass from judgment to everlasting life. Man, I mean, that's a work of God alone. We can't boast in this, oh man, look what I, no. It was his mercy. His mercy. Look at this in 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Man, I'm telling you, love the unlovable. Can I get an amen? How many can honestly say there's folks in your life that, man, I gotta love you? I know it's hard, huh? Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's our perfect example. So you gotta show mercy and you gotta show love, and even when they come against you personally, me personally, we gotta forgive. Can I get amen? Look at the next verse of scripture right here. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. It's a good fight of faith. It's staying true to your faith, amen? And believing who Jesus is in your life. So let's go back now to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. Let's look at this. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing. So that was an exhortation from Paul to Timothy in the first letter. So saints, several times in this entire first letter, Paul has charged, meaning he has commanded and he urged Timothy toward various actions. Why? Because God was raising up Timothy to be a pastor of this church of brand new believers. You got to remember, the Holy Ghost was just poured out. So they were all caught up in their traditions. So they're bringing traditions, they're bringing all kinds of things into the church, and they had no clue how the Holy Spirit operated and how the Word of God was asking now to become formed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here again, Paul made a command to Timothy. And just as Timothy made a good confession before many witnesses, Christ gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate. Oh, yes, he did. You know, they always try to trap Jesus. Did you know that these cunning, evil men always trying to put Jesus in the corner to see how true he was? And so let's look at this right up here. Matthew 27:11, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? So Jesus said to him, it is as you say. So in other words, he said, you hit it right on the money. He didn't say, well, if you said it, then I am. No, it didn't go that way. He says, you said it because that's who I am. And then also it says in Mark 15:2, then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to them, "It is as you say." He said it in all the Gospels. He wasn't denying who he was. They asked the question, he answered. And notice he didn't get into any kind of debate or any contention. He says, "You asked if I was the king of the Jews? You said it." And so they, after a while, these kings like and these emperors, they were frustrated because they couldn't find no fault. You can't fight fault with Jesus because he's the perfect man. Can I get an amen? And so no matter how difficult circumstances might become, saints, Timothy always would have the example of Jesus who remained faithful even in the face of death. Oh, yeah. A lot of these apostles faced a martyr death. But you know what? They didn't deny the truth. I was watching on YouTube 2 days ago. There's a messianic rabbi. A messianic rabbi who, let me just say this, and I'll make it quick. But the prime minister and the government doesn't run Israel. You know who runs the entire state of Israel? The Sanhedrin. They're still around. And this one man who God miraculously saved, he went back and shared his joy of being saved by Jesus and his grandfather, who was part of the parliament in the Knesset, was leading the Sanhedrin, disowned his own son. All his whole entire family disowned him. And then, when his grandfather died, they came and found him. He was living in a tent in Tel Aviv, because everyone disowned him, and they gave him a check for $40,000 to sign it, and then the inheritance of all his property that was worth $40 million. But they had a letter saying, "Deny Jesus, and you can have it." He gave him the pen. He ripped up the paper. He goes, "You can have it." He stood as a witness for Jesus. And they spat on him. There were seven rabbis that came in and they spat on him. Pap, 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 pap. And about 2 years later, God blessed that man for standing. And now he has one of the biggest messianic churches up in Haifa. There's 5,000 believing Jews in his church. And all what he did, he stood. He stood as a witness before unbelieving men. And he didn't take that carrot. Man, that was like, wow. I was just like, what? And then he was just sharing testimony after testimony how God elevated him to where he was. And it was all God by himself. Saying, stay strong in the power of the Lord. He will bless you and see you through. Can I get an amen? Amen. Be steadfast with God. Let's go to verse 15. Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and only the Pontifex, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why did Paul had to emphasize that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You got to remember the New Testament wasn't written yet. It was being written at that time. So they had to go back. They had to go back to the scriptures. Because you got to remember Paul. Paul, man. He was an awesome teacher of the law. But he had no understanding of God's grace or mercy. Saints, the right time of the second coming is according to God's timetable. How many believe that God is coming? Amen. So Paul's early teachings, his writings show that he believed that the return would occur very soon. However, at the time of this letter to Timothy, Paul realized that the return might not be contemplated and at that time appearing now. They understood that then later on. They knew it was for a future event. But one thing that was clear that when Jesus comes, he is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen? Because they understood this in Psalms. Oh, yes. Look at Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever. He was connecting the dots with Timothy. He was telling man, when Jesus comes, it's going to be written on his garment, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, aren't you so blessed to know that? Look at this. It's also in Deuteronomy, in the Tanakh. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. I mean, you can't bribe God. Oh, God, let's make a deal. No, he says this is the deal. Thank you, God. Because now John, the Revelator, he saw the vision when he was on the island on Patmos. I wish we did a side tour on our trip. Yolanda and I, we were blessed to go on an Israel trip, and there was a side tour. That side tour allowed us to go to the island of Patmos, and we went right into the cave where John, the beloved John, wrote the book of Revelation. Beautiful little island. Beautiful. It was so beautiful. It was a Greek island called the Island of Patmos. Man, everything that God has written here is there. It's true. Thank you, God. Let's go to the next verse here. Look at this. In Revelation 17, 14, they will make war. Who's going to make war? The nations that hate God. And so when we are in Israel, we're going to look on that platform, on that very tall building, looking over into Megiddo, where Armageddon will take place, and all the battles are going to take place. And these United Nations are going to turn, and they're going to try to fight God. And God's going to just rain down hell and brimstone upon them. How can they shoot their nuclear bombs when God's spirit? They have no weapon for God. They don't. Look at this. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's you and I. Because when Jesus comes back the second time, you and I are going to be on horses with him. Can I get an amen? Come on, I can't wait for that day. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to be with millions and millions. And he will lead the march. And he will destroy the enemies. Hallelujah. Because out of his mouth it said, the sword will come. And it'll be through the word of God. And he will smite and destroy all of his enemies once and for all. Can I get an amen? Man, you know what? It could be around the corner. Oh, yes. Because in Revelation 19, 16, the next verse, and he has on his robe, look at this, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, God. And he's going to lead us. He's going to lead us into that battle. And guess what? Not one of us are going to get injured. It's all good. Man, this is a fun ride. And here's the thing. He's not going to give us a heart of flesh like them down there. Because we're going to have one mind with him. And so those are his enemies. If those are his enemies, guess what? They're our enemies too. Thank you, God. So in any case, saints, Paul's reference to God's plan immediately filled his mind with a word vision of the one who served with his life. The true phrase, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reveals that there is no other way to ascribe more power and authority to God alone. Nothing can. Paul used the common titles for human power, but enlarged them by investing in God's supreme power over those we consider most powerful. So nothing can contend with God. The armies of Russia, combined with the armies of China, combined with the armies of even of the U.S., the whole entire world cannot contend with the King of Kings. and the Lord of Lords. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Huh? Man, I'm so excited what God has done for us. Now, this is the last verse that we're going to expound on in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at this. Who alone has immortality? So Paul is asking Timothy, who alone has immortality? Meaning, who has the power to cause us to live forever? Who does? Dwelling in unapproachable light. Meaning, remember when God told Moses, don't look at me, because if you look at me, you will die. So the light was so bright, he had to turn. And all he saw was the hinder parts. And so, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. You and I have not seen this light, or we would be destroyed. We would disintegrate. His light is brighter than all the stars in the galaxy. Look, if you think the sunlight is bright, that's just one sun out of tens of trillions and trillions and trillions and quadrillions of stars in the entire universe. So you put them all in one, he's still brighter than all that. That's a mighty God we serve. Look, he spoke the whole thing into existence. And what baffles mankind is God was concerned about our planet Earth. And he created us. This is why he loves us so much, because he created us. Look, the Bible doesn't talk about life on any other planet. So don't go into the scientific thing or science fiction. If it's in the Word, then we would believe it. But there's nowhere in Scripture that he made life on other planets. So out of that vastness, he created our planet so that we can live on, so that we can breathe the air, eat the food. And notice the climate, it doesn't destroy us. It may be cold, so we wear a coat. If it's hot, then we wear less, right? Amen. But the atmosphere doesn't destroy us because he made it perfect for you and I to exist. Man, he was looking out for us. Come on, God was looking out for us. And so having established some idea of an appropriate title for God, Paul lists several of the notable characteristics of our divine ruler. How many believe that God is a divine ruler? Yes, he is. He's divine. He's supernatural. He's beyond our comprehension, saints. God alone can never die. Can never die. He is the only one having immortality in himself. So the Bible says he was there before time began. So before he spoke everything into existence, he already was there. Man, the mind of God. But Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So we, as humans, because we're frail, we had to feel and touch him, meaning we had to tangibly see him. But that's why Jesus came. He came to die for us. So he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And that's the love of the Father that sent his Son to die for us. So he's the only one having immortality to himself. He is not subject to death. Others may be given immortality, but only God has it inherent in his own being. So in other words, it's already been there before time began. And because, saints, he's eternal, he gives you and I eternal life. See, if a God is not eternal, how can he give us eternal life? Because then it wouldn't even exist. But because it exists, he came that we can have eternal life with him throughout the ages. Man, it's going to be a big, big, joyous time when we get to heaven. It's going to be so beautiful because, you know what? Human hands didn't create it. And we're going to love it. We're going to just bask in his glory. We're going to be like in awe for eternity. Aren't you so blessed you'll never get tired? You won't be like... Uh-uh. Because we'll have bodies like his, and we will be changed. Hallelujah. We'll be able to endure eternity without. Thank you, God. So even if the light were removed, God remains invisible. Did you know he's an invisible God? Listen, when the Holy Spirit came in, you felt his presence. You feel him inside you. God's inside of you. But you can't see with your natural eyes. You can't. He's the invisible God. Look what it says right up here in Exodus. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Let's move on. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I want you to get a hold of this, because this right here in Exodus, if you look at this, With the closer lens, this is the sovereignty of God. This is God's election. This is God who has chosen us. We didn't choose him. So God says, as the creator, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy on. This atheist that perished, oh well, we have nothing to do with it. Amen? We have nothing to do with it. But look at this. I will make all my goodness pass before you, Moses, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So this proving the point, Pastor Fee is just not talking. This is the word. You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, look at this. Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it will be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, my hinder parts, I just said. But my face you shall not be seen. Because if he saw his face, he would die. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? God's word is true. It's true. But look, I want you to catch what he said. Because eventually Paul got a hold of this revelation. He saw in Exodus about God's election, God's mercy, how God elected you and I, how he chose us before the foundation of the world. And guess what? Who is the created being able to say, that's not fair, God? None of us have that authority. Can I get an amen? And so this is why we need to always pray to God and say, God, save so-and-so. Let it be your will. Like you saved us. Save them. But it's all up to him. Can I get an amen? Because this is what God says in Romans. Look at this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Nuh-uh. You and I could never tell God, man, you're not fair. You're not righteous. He says, certainly not. Look, he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor him who runs, but of God who shows what? Mercy. We have this marvelous salvation because of his mercy. There's nothing you and I could have done to save ourselves. He chose you and said, I'm having mercy on you. And you know what? There's some people that will say, I can choose whenever I want. And they'll get mad and fight with you. They're fighting with God. They're fighting with God. My goodness. Perfect example. Before we go to the next scripture, did you know that we're not there yet? Okay. Let's not go. Yeah. Well, look at this. Okay, let's finish this. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to them, why does he still find fault? For he has resisted his will. Here's what God will do. Like that atheist that died. According to the word of God, because he just said, no, I don't believe in you. God hardens his heart. Look what he did to Pharaoh. Remember when Pharaoh insisted on keeping the the children of Israel in bondage. So what did God do? For this very purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared on all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens. Man, God can harden someone's heart that won't come to him. My goodness, man, when you start getting the depth of his knowledge and the word of God, you start to say, oh, God, man, thank you for this wonderful salvation, because you didn't have to choose me. But he did. Let's read 18 again. Therefore, let's go back. Let's go to 18. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to them, why does he still find fault? For he has resisted his will. Look, let's go again to the next scripture. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? In other words, how can the sinner say to God, oh, that ain't fair. You're an unrighteous God. Will the thing formed say to him who formed it? That means us, who God has formed. Who are we to stand in the same courtroom and put on the robe like him? No, we can't. It says, will the thing formed say to him who was formed, why have you made me like this? And then Paul went on to say, does not the potter have power over the clay? He has power over us. Look at this. From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and, another for dishonor. So he'll make someone that's fully corrupted. God chooses to do that. Not, we were corrupted from the get-go, and he changed us. And he made you and I now a vessel of honor. Come on, man. Someone need to shout and say, thank you, God. Woo, thank you, God. Because we were all walking in dishonor. And he had mercy. Look at this. From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? My goodness. See, people don't want to hear this. I'm telling you, there's some churches that will just zip right through this, and they won't talk about election. They won't talk about predestination. They won't talk about the mercy of God, the grace of God. They won't. Because man wants to have their hand in it and say, well, I got a say in this too. No, we don't have a say. We have nothing to do with this great salvation. And when he fills us with his spirit, he has sealed us until the day of redemption. Man, come on. Look at verse 23 here. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Man, we're vessels of mercy. Can I get an amen? That's who you and I are. We're vessels of mercy, man. When we deserve death, we deserve to die. And yet he says, you are vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. See, our life now has been changed by the power of God to bring him glory now. So wherever you go, you're bringing him glory. You're saying, God, thank you. And you're being a witness to the unbelieving world. Look at this. Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also as Gentiles, that's you and I. Ain't none of us went to church with that little thing on our head. I call it a beanie and Cecil hat. Look at this. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people. What? We weren't part of the nation of Israel or Abraham's lineage. He had mercy and called us in. We were grafted in by his goodness, by his grace. My people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. That was us. That was our testimony. Can I get an amen? Look at the next verse. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called let me read that back. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel will be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. So God hasn't forgotten about them. He's going to go back to them. So when we come, oh man, God's giving this to me right now. When we come back with God. Now, for those of you that are going on this trip, we're going to be on the Mount of Olives, and we're going to look, because the Kidron Valley is right there below us. And way up here on the Mount of Olives, you start the Via Dolorosa Road. Then you pass the Kidron Valley, you start walking up to the temple, now you're into the temple. But from the Mount of Olives, we're going to look at the Eastern Gate. And it's sealed up. And what the Muslims did, they put a whole bunch of tombs there to try to block God, because they know God's coming. So you put all these graves there, and guess what? I think Rabbi Jonathan Cahn's going to probably make a deal with the Palestinians that watch that area, where we can go in and put our hands on the Eastern Gate. We're going to put our hands on the Eastern Gate, because Jesus is going to come and just knock it down, and he's going to put his feet on the mount. It's in Zechariah 14. And then all of them, I'm talking all these Jews that are there, they're all going to look, and they're going to see his nail-pierced hands. And they're going to say, he's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. And guess what? We'll be with him when he steps down. And he's going to bury the Antichrist. Whoever that leader is, he's going to bury him in the land of Israel. Jesus is going to do it all by himself. Man, look at this. Verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Why? Because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have become like Gomorrah. What did he mean by that? That means if the Holy Ghost would have came and delivered us and we would be born again, we would all be like Sodom and Gomorrah and fall into that pit where that man went that I heard about today. But guess what? We have the seed of Christ in us now. Hallelujah. We have the seed of Christ in us. Hallelujah. So guess what? We have, bam. We have leaped over judgment. And now we're in his grace. We're in his mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because I couldn't buy this great salvation. None of us have money to, I don't care how much money you got. Donald Trump can't buy in. Bill Gates can't buy in. No one can buy in. This is an act of a sovereign God who picks and chooses who he wants to come in. We have nothing to do with it. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, he's invisible, but he lives. Can I get amen? And you know, thank God that even in the ancient days, 2,000 years ago, there's really no photos or pictures or sketches of Jesus. You know why? They didn't want people to make an idol out of him. Because he's spirit and in truth. Look at John right here. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No one has seen him. We haven't seen him. Oh, but we know he's alive and well because he's living in my soul. Is he alive and well in your soul? Come on. Yes, he is. He's alive and well in my soul. There's a song, I think, that goes with that. So saints, this does not mean that God is unknowable, but that his holiness keeps us from seeing him. God's legitimate power and position require two responses from us: honor and submission to his power, to his authority. So when we approach God, you and I, we must not emphasize our own understanding or self-confidence. Instead, we must submit to Him and worship His holy majesty. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome and power and mighty. Any claim to equality with God simply widens the gulf between us. As Paul pointed out to the Romans, who treat God lightly and will not be able to bear the weight of His judgment. I close with this scripture here. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is what happened to that atheist. This is what happens to those who deny the living God. Can I get an amen? And let's pray. Father God, we just thank You. We thank You for the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. Lord, there's just so much that we could only cover in an hour. But Lord, we are indebted to You for what You have done for us. There is so many people right now that don't know and don't have a clue on who You are. But thank You that You have brought us this great and awesome salvation. And Lord, let us be a continual light before the unbelievers. And not that we've obtained, not that we're perfect, not that we have anything other than Your mercy. That's all we have is Your mercy and Your promise of eternal life. And so, God, let us be strong in our faith. Let us walk in power in the name of Jesus. And we bless You and praise You in Jesus'
name. If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show Himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that You died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, You rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve You, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of His Word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.
Amen.